the subject allocated to me tonight, to talk briefly about it and then to hear from you, is the role of the mother. Right now, this is part of your series on parenting, and in a sense I'm at a disadvantage because I have not been with you from the very beginning. But I'm sure what you have already shared has been very interesting and very, very relevant to our situation today. Let me just make two comments by way of an introduction. Because it might seem strange that a man should be talking about the role of a mother, my wife actually offered to do this talk for me. We celebrated on Friday past our wedding anniversary, and we have been married for a long, long time, right? And this is only the second occasion that Mita has actually offered to do a talk instead of me. The other one, many years ago, whenever I was in Connor, I was doing a little series on the fruit of the Spirit, and Mita offered to talk on the one on patience, because she said she had more experience on it than I had. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I cannot deny that she has more experience of being a mother than I. And in her absence, I say that she's been one of the best, if not the best, that I certainly am aware of. The other thing is that I'm glad that you have retained these two words of father and of mother. In today's sexual revolution, for that's what it is. These words are often omitted, or they have maybe changed their meaning beyond all recognition. I'm sure you've all heard of Tom Daley, the Olympic diver, and he was on, apparently, Desert Island Discs, and he's in a same-sex marriage, apparently with another man. And while he was at the Commonwealth, the European Championships, he was expressing his delight at the prospect that he was going to become a father. Now, he apparently is 24. His male partner is apparently 44. But Tom Daley was rejoicing and looking forward to being a father. That would have meant the 44-year-old male would have been the mother. And, I simply don't know. It turns out, of course, as you would expect, that they have paid a surrogate mother to have a child for them. But even in our schools today, children are at times discouraged from using words like boy and girl, or him and her, or he and she. And even now the girl guides, they have apparently the potential prospect of trans boys, that is boys, biologically boys, who trans go over and say they are now girls. Girl guides will now admit them into their ranks to share in the same toilet facilities, to share in the same tents at camps and so on. And already a couple of girl guide officers who have not been happy with this have actually been expelled from the guides. So I'm glad that you're keeping to what maybe many would regard as the scriptural words of father and of mother. What then can we say from scripture, and indeed from observation about this? First of all, in terms of scripture, scripture is, in our Presbyterian setup, our only infallible rule of faith and of practice. Not only what we believe, but how we are to behave in our practice. And the word mother actually occurs just short of 300 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it's just over 200 times. Most references in the Old Testament are to be to honor your father and your mother. There is one interesting verse in Isaiah 66, verse 13, where God is speaking and he says this, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." God speaks of his own way with us, the way that a mother comforts her children. But in the New Testament, the word mother occurs 87 times. And of those, 74 have to do with the Gospels, the four Gospels. And there they refer just to the mother of Jesus. So what can we say then about the role of a mother in terms of scripture and in terms of initially my observation, and we'll come to yours later. The role of a mother. I have three things I want to say. The first is the role of a mother in giving birth to a child. And say two things here. Again, as I've mentioned before, contrary to what so many might say today, only a woman can give birth to a child. For only a woman is biologically equipped with a womb to bear a child. A lot of months ago, there was a news item about a man giving birth to a child. But the story was really about a woman who transed to say that she was now a man, still retaining a womb, and thereby able to give, to have a child. Same-sex couples cannot bear children of themselves, even two women. If they are to have a child at all, it must either be by adoption or through a surrogate woman. The second thing about giving birth is that it's a painful experience. Genesis 2:16, God said to the woman, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children." I remember one time having, I forget the details, but having to have an injection, and was given by a lady doctor, and there was a nurse present, and the lady doctor was assuring me that it would not be painful, and the nurse remarked, "You should give birth to a child to know what pain is." Painful. Now, that Genesis reference really comes after the fall, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God and rebelled in what we term the fall. But having said that, it's still difficult to imagine how a woman could give birth to a child without it being painful. Now, I haven't, and I won't be saying anything about abortion, simply because I have a very limited experience of it. In fact, over 55 years now of pastoral experience, I have only pastored one woman in Connor who actually had to have two abortions on the grounds that her own life was threatened. And this is maybe 30 years ago. And she got a medical abortion in the old Waveney Hospital. But as I was thinking of that, I recalled another visit that I paid to a lady, a farmer's wife, and she was in the maternity ward in Antrim, but the baby in the womb died while she was still carrying the baby. And she knew that that was the case, and I was visiting her just a few days before she was delivered of this dead baby. And she asked me a number of questions about what might happen. And one of them was, would you take a funeral for a dead baby? And I said to her straight away, well, if it was my wife and our child, I would certainly conduct a funeral or want one to be done. That seemed to happen to satisfy her. But whenever I paid a visit to her home after she got back to home a few days after that, she told me that her husband, a farmer, had put the dead baby in a box and had buried it in the corner of a field. And I thought that was a bit harsh. What I want to say is that the role of a mother in giving birth is simply indispensable. No one else can take her place. But secondly, the role of a mother in the early years of nurture of children. And as I was thinking about this, I wanted to be very careful about mothers who feel that they've got to go back to work. Sometimes financial restraints make this almost inevitable. But also training. I know of a mother who went through university, got a master's and a PhD in her chosen subject. She's so well qualified that she can dictate terms about work, and she only works about 2 days a week. Our own daughter Anne now works looking after 4 children for a husband and wife. Husband's a businessman, the wife is a doctor, and she goes back to her practice for 4 days in the week, and our daughter looks after their children. So working mums. I thought there was going to be a scripture reading in the earlier part, and if I had have had a say in that, it would have been in Proverbs 31. Some of you may know that as the outworking of a virtuous woman. In the Authorized Version, in the NIV, it's a noble, a wife of noble character. And I think in the ESV, it's a virtuous woman. And whenever you read that chapter, from verse 10 onwards, you find that this woman is depicted as a working mum. This is Proverbs 31, In verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it and plants a vineyard. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is a working mom. But I have to say that I'm glad that my wife, Mita, was a stay-at-home mom. Not only that she was able to look after our three children from their early stages of infancy, but she was also able to provide her husband with a morning cup of coffee to break up his studies. And I have always appreciated Mita being there for me and for our children. Whenever a couple have a baby, sometimes folks are very anxious to know who gets up in the middle of the night when the child is crying and wanting to be fed. And Mita and I had an amicable agreement about that. We took a turn about to get up. She got up and I turned about. But more seriously, a woman's influence in those early stages of a child's life is so vitally important. Here's some words written to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul writes, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you also. You read that 31st chapter of Proverbs, the role of a virtuous woman is from verse 10 onwards. But the opening verse, verse 1, is this, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So what he writes from verse 1 onwards, including the verses on a virtuous woman, he learnt it from his mother. Verse 28 of that chapter speaks of such a woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So she gets well-deserved praise from her children and from her husband, a wife and a mother. She's there for her children. And that care of infants later extends to adolescent children as they face the growing pressure that they face in the culture of our society now that increasingly has turned its back on Christian standards. So if you like, a third role for a mother is to be a model parent for her children. And in that, of course, she shares that responsibility with her husband. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. As I've said, Isaiah 66 speaks of a mother comforting, strengthening, getting alongside her children. The Apostle Paul, writing of his time in Thessalonica and Greece, in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he says, as he writes to them, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Right into the Romans 16, verse 13, he writes this, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, for she has been a mother to me as well." Here's an unnamed mother given to hospitality and extending that to the Apostle Paul. Paul writing and giving advice to young Timothy, a young pastor, about caring for widows, setting out those whom he's not to overcare for, but for those he refers to in 1 Timothy 5:10, those who have a reputation for good works and have brought up children and have shown hospitality. I've mentioned, and you are as aware of this as I am, that we're living in days of cultural and sexual revolution. And dear knows where it is going to end. Wasn't it yesterday? It was indicated that the government is about to extend civil partnerships to opposite-sex couples. At the moment, it is just for same-sex couples, but the government seem intent on extending this so that a man and a woman, instead of getting married, can enter into a civil partnership. And this is surely to decrease the number of those who are getting married. And just today, I have read that there's a couple of sisters, two women, sisters, and they are seeking, they've been living together as sisters, and they are seeking to have the law changed in such a way that they can enter into a civil partnership. Now, a lot of this has to do with the avoidance of inheritance tax and so on. But folks, marriage is basically very much under attack. Mita and I were away there for 2 weeks in Scotland, and I was reading a book on a Kindle that I have and an iPad, and it was a book on the sexual revolution in America. And really, things are going from bad to worse, and dear knows where they're going to end up. But in all of this, shining like a beacon is our mothers, and especially those who are Christians within our churches and so on. They pay a vital role in our family, in our church, in our community, of bearing children and rearing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And mothers are to be appreciated and praised for their role. Their teaching is to be obeyed, and along with their husbands, they are to be honored. The fifth commandment is, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Just as a little footnote, I put in, wrote at the bottom, just to say to mothers that despite the enormity of your role, your task, you shouldn't forget that as well as being a mother, you're also a wife, and you have a husband, and you are not to neglect them. I wondered if Mita was going to be here, and that prompted me to think about, but she's gone to the midweek in First Ballymena. She maybe was a little afraid that she might be blushing if I said too much about her. But remember, mothers, don't forget your husbands.